I did get thrown on the spot for preaching. I got other stuff, but when I was going over these, I'll just apologize to the teens now. Most of what you're going to hear now, you heard this morning, but the Lord did give me more to it. So originally I thought, you know what, I'll make a series out of this for the teens. And then the Lord goes, no, why don't you just preach it all tonight? So, sorry. That's what I'm thinking anyway, but you know what? The Lord's been good, and amen. Teens been great. Doing teens on Wednesdays has been a real blessing. That's kind of where this started. Last Wednesday, I assigned the next chapter for the book of John. We've been going through the book of John, and we went through John chapter 2. And we studied. I had them study out alcohol. I remember Brother Dan, he taught on alcohol, and he just kind of went through the Bible. And everybody's got their own opinions on alcohol, and I really don't care what your opinion is. It matters what God says. And when you go from chapter 2, and then when you read, because people are always going to say, there's always, oh, he turned the wine into, the water into wine, and it was an alcoholic beverage. So the homework was, study it out. And then we went through an extensive study on alcohol. And here's the verses. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever errs is seized by is not wise. It means if you think it's okay, Mike Nemeth version, you're an idiot. Isn't the Bible holy? It is. Anyhow. But then he goes in there and he's flipping the tables in John chapter 2. And he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it back up. And he's talking about how your body's a temple. And I went through there and we were talking about with the teens of what you put in your body and sanctification and how he puts that in his body and how we become a body. And it was a pretty decent study. And it was good. There was a lot of interactions. But as I went through there, I said, be careful what you put in your temple and what you're hanging around and this and that. And who you're hanging around and this and that. And one of the girls said, that can be kind of hard. And I looked at her and I said, no, it isn't. And the Holy Spirit of God touched me. I said, you sure about that? And I got convicted a little bit later. And I apologized to her. Book of Daniel, chapter 1, if you would. It wasn't too easy for Daniel, was it? No. They got some I don't listen to all the podcasts, but there was one I stumbled across on one. It's called Soft White Underbelly. I don't recommend listening to stuff, but one thing you can listen to, and one thing I've kind of got off all this is just because you see somebody, you don't know nothing about them. I don't know how you got brought up. I don't know how you was raised. I don't know how anybody in this room except myself was brought up. Yeah. And everybody's story is different. Yeah. It might be that I got saved later in life and stuff might be a little bit easier for me, but you got no control over, these are your parents. Those are your parents. Everybody got brought up different. It might be easier for you and it might be harder for you. It's the only one answer that fits all is Jesus Christ. There ain't a one-size-fit-all counsel. There isn't. Jesus is the answer. If you don't get saved and you don't have Christ in your life, it's going to be tough. And it might still be tough even as a Christian. It's going to be tough. And I apologized to this morning. I went through it and I said, you know what? You was right and I was wrong. And I apologize. I told him, you better check the preacher. Preacher ain't always right. I don't know what you're going through. Daniel chapter 1. This is often a children's. This is often that we go to Daniel chapter 1. This is the children's story. Right? Yeah. Daniel chapter 1, he purposed in his heart. We've all heard this verse. It's a very popular verse. We've all heard it. Most of you have heard it. I had the teens raise their hand. Most of them heard it more than twice. But it's not just a children's book. The children can read this. If it was a children's book, how come everybody stops at chapter 7 then? By the way, if you want questions about 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, the question box is back there, and Pastor's more than happy to answer those questions. We're going to stick in the first six chapters today. That's why that box is back there. Praise God. But you know what? It's not just a children's book. It's not just children's stories. These verses are just as relevant today as they are back then. Daniel purposing in his heart is just as relevant today as it was years ago. Daniel chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and he besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. You know what these vessels, they're later brought up in chapter 5, we'll return to later, but you know what? God keeps track of his vessels. You're a vessel, by the way. And God, before he even mentions Daniel and everything he's going to go on, God is going to mention these vessels. God's got an account of these things. These were the vessels that were kept in there with the Ark of the Covenant. These were consecrated under for his use. And he keeps track of them. I just found that to be interesting. I don't know. I hope that's a help to you. Verse number 3, and he spake unto the Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Can I tell you tonight, there's always going to be an attack on you, on the king's seed. If you're saved, you're born again, you're a child of God, you're the king of the king, you're his son, you're his daughters, there's always going to be an attack on you. The devil wants you to. He wants your purity as a young man, young woman. He wants you to defile yourself. And the world does too. They want nothing more than to see you fall. Children, in verse number 4, in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful. Skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. And as such had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. You know what? They wanted these best kids. You know what? The devil wants the best kids too. Everything they did to train these kids up, the devil was going to try to take it out. Nebuchadnezzar says, you know what? I want these kids too. I'm going to take them. You know, the word science, and I'm not, granted, we's a King James church, you know, but I don't like to park on that all the time, but I do like to mention this every now and then, that the other versions did take that word out. God is the creator of science. The devil's going to mess with the word. And if you take that out, and people, God doesn't believe in science, unlike the Bible has the word science in it. I mean, God is the creator of it. If you can back up all your theology around science and what God, I mean, anyhow. But they're going to learn the tongue of these Chaldeans. They're going to learn their language. In verse number 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. You know what? They're going to nourish them. Nourish them like food, like nutrition. 3 years. You know what? There's a lot of things in this world that they'll tell you that's good. They'll say it's good for you, but it's not. Am I making sense? There's a lot of things out there that just aren't. They'll say it's nourishing, but it ain't going to help you. You know, these kids are going to learn the tongues. They're going to learn these customs. So when they stand before the king, you know, that they know this language perfectly. These kids were taken away from their parents. These kids were forced to live all by themselves. They took them apart. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, so nourishing at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. And unto them the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto them Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, and to Shadrach, Mishael, and to Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. And here it is. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You know what? You're going to have to purpose in your heart not to defile yourself. Defile himself. And this is the Sunday crowd, most, you know. But there's still lots of filth out there. There's filth on the TV. There's filth in this world. There's just garbage upon garbage upon garbage. Defile means to make unclean, to render dirty or foul, to make impure. I mean, I like how Brother Dan said this. I never forgot it. It kind of stuck when he taught it downstairs as a teen. He said, this was the first time these kids probably ever smelled bacon. You know what I mean? So we had a hand raised and said, who likes bacon? Most everybody except for two girls, or my wife and, I'll just, wife and Lexi don't like the smell of bacon. And they're both sitting in the front row. Go figure, I don't know. We'll pray for them. No, I'm just joking. But you know, it probably was. But pigs are nasty. You look at Mark chapter 4, I think it is. And they cast out all the devils into the pigs. Cast us into the pigs. You're like, ooh, that's nasty. Just defiled himself. You know what else? You know what else smells good? A vape pen. You ever been around somebody who's vaping? This might just be for the kids, but if you adults are going to think you're going to start taking it up, it smells good. I remember when I was a kid, I had a grandfather or an uncle who smoked pipe. You know, pipe smells good, but it's probably going to kill you. You get lung cancer. I know I got a good friend now. I'm helping build a laundromat. His son, he won't mind me telling this story. His son's 23, started vaping at, I think, 17 or 18. Developed a hole in his lung. We got a nurse back here shaking his head, yes. So nourishing him 3 years. Well, that didn't take long. I know people that have smoked for 30, 40 years and never even got lung cancer. I'm not saying challenge that. I'm just saying, smelled good. It's not going to nourish you. You know what? God cares what you put in yourself. God cares what you stand for and against. God cares what you fill yourself with. But Daniel purposed not to defile himself with the portion. Look at verse number 10. It says, And the prince of eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat that your drink. Why should you see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. So what he's saying is, he says, look, you guys aren't going to take this the best stuff that we got, because we consider that the best stuff. You're going to go over there and stand before the king, and you're going to be like this, and all the other kids are going to be happy and. That's what he's saying. And he says, and because the king sees that, he's going to take my head off, because I'm not taking care of you. I like what Daniel says here, verse number 12. He says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. 10 days, that's the challenge. 10 days. I'm going to try to get through this quick, but if I try to speed it up, 10-day challenge. Purpose in your heart, purpose to pray, and purpose to praise the Lord for 10 days. And I promise you, your life will change. You know what Brother Jack Wood would say? Brother Jack Wood, if you don't know, he was the pastor of Shady Acres Baptist Church. And he said at Shady Acres, and his, like you said, your verse this morning, you know him by his fruit. His church is still growing strong. That church raises with a membership of about 200 some people, over $1 million every single year that goes out to missionaries. They get from other people millions of dollars that goes out to missionaries because they've been entrusted so much with this missions. They also have been given property all over the world because they've been trusted with that and the fruit that they bear from doing that. But Brother Jack Wood would say, and I've heard this, I don't know, he never told me, this is just what I've heard from him. He said, and he was talking about counseling people. He said he never had to counsel a guy who attended every single service and gave to the church and missions. Never had to counsel him. I'm just talking 10 days. That's in a reference to 10 days. Never had to counsel him. He also said, if you come to church, and this is what he promised people that come to church. He says, you know what? If you come to church for 3 weeks in a row, every single service, he says, and I heard Brother John Wagner say the same thing. You come to church every single service for 3 weeks, he says, your life will change. Mm-hmm. And the way he figured it was, he said, they're either going to get saved, because he's going to preach on sin, he's going to preach on how to get saved, or they're going to get convicted of sin, and they're going to get right, or they're going to leave. So that's what he preached on. And he lived by those words. And there's something to that. This is a man with wisdom. A church where you've seen their fruit. Ten-day challenge. It says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. You know what that countenance is? That's how they look. That's how they are. You can tell when some people have been walking with the Lord and when others haven't. You can tell when people are drunk and when people aren't. By how they appear, how they act. I went through, and I apologize if I didn't have some of the parents' consent with this, but this morning when we was down there stairs, I since this was 3 years, I looked up on some police websites. I looked up faces of meth. Have you ever seen that? Hoo-wee, it's like a horror movie. And some of these people is only a year and a half. Yeah. They get arrested, their mugshot, it's just, they're like, and the next picture, like, whoa. You
should see him in the hospital.
Yeah. Amen. Seen one at 2.5 years, almost unrecognizable. Was they scary, girls? Yeah. It was like, after seeing their face, I was like, maybe I shouldn't have done this. I don't know. It's bad. But it's reality. None of them started off that they was going to do that. None of them purposed in their heart, you know, I'm not going to do this drug. None of them purposed in your heart, you know what, I'm just going to stay separate from these things. And it's sad. I'll put it this way, and we could even, if you had 10 days on donuts, Mountain Dew, pizza, Taco Bell, Doritos, cotton candy, and sugar, all the kids are like, yes! Versus 10 days of vegetables and water, I guarantee we're going to see a difference in you. And that's just putting it simple. Real simple. What you putting into yourself. 10 days of pizza, I guarantee I'm gaining 10 pounds. 10 days of veggies, I'm probably going to lose 5. Maybe more. 10 days. Verses 14, so he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And in the end of their 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now, Mike, you're wondering, that's where I get those words. There's your fairer, fatter, and flesh. Sometimes, you know, preachers got to have all the same letters. But people like to say, you know what? People still say this today. I say, how you doing? You know, I'm doing fat and happy. Yeah. Fat and happy. I think I'm going to start saying, I'm doing fat and fair. I'm doing pretty good. I'm happy. You know, I think it's kind of funny. But thus, Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. And as for these four children, now pay attention to what God says about these kids for what they're standing up. What they're standing up for. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This might be what God rewards you with. I know we sometimes, well, I'm going to get a Corvette. I'm going to get a house. I'm going to get all my bills paid. Maybe you might just get wise from it and work it out that way. Maybe God just blesses you with wisdom. And other people is going to see it, and then you could be a light to them. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all the visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, verse number 18, that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. Man, that's a lot. 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of Cyrus. You know what? God blessed him 10 times better. But he also, you know, he purposed in his heart for that to not be defiled with that portion. In Daniel chapter 5, he purposed in his heart. You can purpose in your heart to praise. Look at Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. Verse number 1 says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to Daniel chapter 5, verse number 1, to 1,000 of his lords, and drank a wine before the 1,000. And Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, and that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and of the king saw a part of the hand that wrote. I mean, that's just scary. That's where they get this. I mean, that's where Hollywood gets this stuff. You know, you see the outside window that's fogged up, you know, and it's all, you know, oh. That's where they get this. I mean, this is just Bible. It really is. They get this stuff. Verse number 6 is just even, it's kind of funny, but it's truthful if you've probably seen it yourself. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. So here we are, they're getting married, they're getting drunk, they've took the Lord's things that were consecrated for him and used them for when they weren't supposed to, and they're giving praise to gods that don't even exist. And this guy sees this writing across the wall, and he's like, oh, that's what it says. He's literally shaking at his knees because he's so scared. And I'm not going to go through all this. But they praised him. In verse 11 through 12 is something similar you see in Daniel chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, where he talks about how good Daniel was. Because Daniel purposed in his heart, because Daniel made these right decisions, because Daniel wanted to stay separate from these things. He was known and he was seen amongst people as being somebody who was different. He wasn't part of the other group. Verse number 11, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of thy gods, because we know this story. You guys know this story. He did, what's this writing mean? He said, and the astrologers, and they can't tell them, the astronomers, and the Chaldeans, and the magicians, the soothsayers, none of them know how to translate it. But this guy Daniel, there is a man in thy kingdom, verse number 11, in whom the spirit of thy holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians and astrologers, Chaldeans and soothsayers. So he's in charge of them all. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts. Boy, I like that. were found in same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation. Man, that's some pretty kind words. And he goes through it. Daniel meets up with him, and he says, hey, you know what? I heard you're the man. I heard you're the man that knows all these things. And he says, you know what? If you can tell me the answer to this, I'm going to make you give you all these rewards, and I'm going to give you all this. And Daniel says in verse number 18, O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people and nations and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would slew and whom he would kept alive, and whom he set up and whom he would put down. And when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took it. His glory from him. Y'all remember that story? Yeah. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And pay attention to these last four verses. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart. Thou knowest all this. Boy, that stood out to me. He says, you know what? You already know. You know all this. You know your daddy made that mistake, and everybody's seen him out there eating grass. We couldn't even describe what he looked like. Feathers grew out like this. I mean, try drawing that thing for, I mean, go read that explanation. If you probably could draw it the best. But if you're a talented drawer, read that up and see what you can draw up what old Neb looked like. Crazy. And he says, you know these things. Just like we know these stories. Just why we've heard these stories over and over and over and over again. Purpose in your heart. And you know your father didn't give any praise to God. Man, I remember the one time, I'm going to tell it again. The one time you try to rob God of some of His glory that He's going to do. And I've told this story before, but the biggest buck we've ever shot, we like to hunt, biggest buck we've ever shot, we got this one, and I knew it was over in this one part of these woods we did not have permission to hunt on, close to our property. And we've kind of ventured over that little way. And I'm thinking, I know if I go down here, we could probably see him right there. I'll shoot him, and I'll drag him, and I'll drag him all the way back to my property. And my son's sitting right here, 14 years old at that time, 14 years old. And this is what I said. Just like, and if you have never had a Nebuchadnezzar moment in your life, you better praise God, because I've had one. And this, all these thoughts go through my mind, and this is really what I said. I go, this is what we're going to do. And I look in the direction I'm going to go, and I go, what is that? And there's a prairie falcon heading right for me. Literally, right for me, like on the ground like this. And lo and behold, I looked him up. They're some of the fastest birds there are in the world. I've seen it. And this bird, as I'm standing right here with a gun, and my son's got a gun, and I'm literally just getting ready to tell him this is the plan we're going to do, that I'm getting ready to rob God. And this bird comes up, and I got my beanie on because it's hunting season, you know, and this bird flies up and starts attacking my beanie. No joke. It's like, and beating up my head like this. And I'm like, what in the world, like this? And my son's looking at it like, what in the world's going on? And then the bird literally just flew up and landed right in a tree and said, what are you going to do about it? And I literally went like this. I go, never mind, let's go. And we walked back to our property. At that time, I didn't know this. At that time, I'm talking about robbing God. I'm talking about not getting God's glory. I'm talking about not praising the Lord. At that time, we didn't have permission to hunt my neighbor's property. And we got this little narrow chunk of property. And the Lord brought the biggest buck in at right there in the evening, came walking in with this doe that we've still shot to this day on our property. And my son shot that thing, plowed that thing from a tree stand that we got from my sister-in-law that we feed up because it, you know, fixed up because it was all beat up. Then a few years later, I got permission to hunt that property. A few years later, I got to hunt that property. And then I can hunt the next property over here. I'm just saying, praise the Lord. Here I'm thinking, you know what? I can fix that problem. And the Lord's like, you ain't going to fix that problem. I'm sending this bird, pink. If you don't think the Lord uses animals, you better read your Bible.
Right.
You just be, just listen. Just be careful. Don't try to rob the Lord. You know what? You got a purpose in your heart to praise Him. You got a purpose in to sing. You knowest all these things. Thou knowest all these things. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and now thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass and iron and wood, which see not, nor hear not, nor know not. And then he says this, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? I need to be careful, not just in my business, and I try to say it all the time. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because people come up and, man, you do such great work. Because I do masonry. So I build stuff that sticks around for a long time. Man, you do such great work. I say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You gave me this ability. My back's still good. Thank you, Jesus. You know. But if you're going to stand up there like old Neb and say, look at this beautiful wall that I've created. Like, what? Are you kidding me? Am I making sense? You got to praise the Lord. He gets all the praise. You got to praise Him for what He's doing. Like those specials. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. I like when people, I like to come to church and it doesn't feel like a school. I'm not putting down learning. We come here to praise God and to worship God and be the same spirit one with another. We can all worship. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise Him in the good and praise Him in the bad. You know, praising and just lifting up your hands, not just for Pentecostals. Because if it isn't, I guess you're just a Baptist. Woo-hoo. But, you know, praising in joy and glorying in God can be done, but if it's done with some emotion, man, I'm joyous that the Lord saved me. I don't just praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't know. I don't even know how to act non-emotional about it. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Just dry, drier than cracker juice about how God saved you. No more praising more. Especially out there in this world that's, you know, who knows what they're following after. I heard Brother Terrence Calvin say, and I don't even know where I'm going with this, but he's talking about Trump. He says, a lot of you are watching for the Trump. He says, I'm listening for it. I said, amen, I like that. Everybody wants Trump. Man, anyway, I'm done. We just want to praise Him. Just want to praise God. Just want to glorify Him. You know, I'm just a worm. I'm just a dog. He must increase. I must decrease. It's all about Him. All the good things He's done in my life. All the good things He's helped me with. The books can't even be filled. Just for me. The things He's kept me from, I don't even know. I heard a preacher say one time, maybe He gave you that flat tire because you was going to get in an accident down the road. Did you ever think of that? And I was like, no, I didn't. You know, get you sick because you had to stay home that day because you knew who knows what was going to happen. He knows everything. You're going to praise Him in the good and praise Him in the bad. But you're going to have to purpose in your heart to do it. First, you purpose in your heart not to defile with the portion. Purpose in your heart to praise. Daniel chapter 6, purpose in your heart to pray. We'll just close with this. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, a very popular passage. Thou knowest all these things. Verse number 3, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Like I told you, you kids and you adults, when you start getting in like leadership roles, and they know you stand for truth and you stand for the Bible and you're standing against lies, people are going to put a little target on you. And it's mostly going to be people that are also in authority. Verse number 4, then the presidents and the princes sought to find accusation against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault so as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, actually just jump down to verse number 7. It says, all the presidents of the kingdom, of the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or any for 30 days, save of thee, O king, that he shall be cast in the den of lions. You know what? And he was hated for it. He was hated for being different. He was hated for being smarter than everybody. He was hated that he was just 10 times better than all of them. He was hated because of who he believed in his God. And they didn't like him. And some of that's going to happen to you too. When you stand up, but you're going to have to purpose. You're going to have to purpose in your heart. I could have just went through, you have to purpose in your heart to do this. Purpose in your heart, purpose it. But it's one of those verses. It's not just for kids. You're going to have to purpose in your heart to pray. I mean, last week I was so busy. I mean, I prayed in the morning, but I didn't pray all that much. I'm convicted about it. Anyhow, they signed this decree. You know the story. Thou knowest all these things. This is church. This is the Sunday crowd. Verse number 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before him, before his God, as he did aforetime. You know, you got a purpose to pray. There's a lot of power in that. And it's one of the most under, people don't do it. And the miracles I've seen in this church, praying with brothers and sisters in Christ and even fasting, I'm talking about stones. Stones getting stacked up that I'll never forget. But sometimes you just think, you know what, I can fix that problem. Well, you better just pray. Better just pray about it. Just because somebody says that, you know, we better just pray about it. Verse number 11. You know, they make that decree, and they go up against Daniel about it, and he's just going to pray regardless of what that decree is. And this king in verse number 14. Because they said, you know what, you got to put him in the lion's den now. And I like this king. Verse number 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with what? Himself. Man, that's a good person. There ought to be some times you get displeased with yourself. But God forgive you. You know, you sin. You know, if you sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you're going to have to purpose in your heart to pray. You're going to have to purpose in your heart to confess those sins to Him. You're going to have to purpose in your heart to get right. You're going to have to purpose in your heart not to be fake. I mean, we look at Daniel, I forget what chapter it is. I think it was chapter 10. He gets down there at chapter 10. He says, "And as I was confessing my sins," you're like, "Daniel? Daniel's confessing his sins?" He says, "An angel came, touched him on his shoulder, rise up." You're like, "Whew." That's a thought. When's the last time you confessed your sins to the Lord? Say, "Get right." Purpose in your heart. Then these men assembled themselves, verse 15. Now let's jump down to verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake, said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." There's an influence. That's an influence Daniel had on this man. Verse number 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Boy, this guy cared about him. You ever cared about somebody you got to pray for him kept you up all night? Then the king arose early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is that God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouth that they may have no hurt. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." And I like the quick transition from verse 23 to 24. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that he should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found on him, because he believed in his God. And you're like, "Man, that's such a great ending." Oh, but wait, there's more. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had their mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. I don't know why that brings me joy, but it really does. Pray for me. He stood up, man, for what was right. He purposed in his heart. Purpose it in your heart. I mean, like I said, I just could have went through a whole bunch of things. "Thou knowest all these things." This is the Sunday evening crowd. "You knowest all these things." Here's the 10-day challenge, and I'm done. 10 days. 10 days. Purpose in your heart to read your Bible. Every day. I challenged the teens with this before. I said, "You read your Proverbs every day. Just read your Proverbs. Read your Proverbs. If you read your Proverbs for the day of the week it is, you know. And you can even, if you're an overachiever, you can read 5 Psalms with your Proverbs, and you'll get through Psalms and Proverbs in a month. And if you really want to do extra, you can read whatever chapter you want in the Bible. But I promise you, if you read your Bible honestly, pray, "Lord, show me something," and you're not defiling yourself, God is going to show you something. And it's probably going to be something you have to work on. Something you need to know. You purpose to praise God in the good and in the bad. And you glorify Him. I'm talking 10-day challenge. So next Sunday, I'll sit in the front So I won't be looking at the back to see if anybody wants to go, "Thank you, Jesus." It's okay to do that in church. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm not being sarcastic. It's okay to lift up your, especially if you says, "Lift up, my hands aren't holy." Well, confess your sin then, because that's about as holy as you're going to get after that. Amen. Lord, forgive me my sin. Thank you, Lord. If you think that's wrong, there's a question box back there. You can ask Pastor. But you want to lift up the name of the Lord in all you can. You know what purpose to pray? Confess your sin. You know what? Pray for others. And watch who the Lord puts in your life. Pray for them. And listen. Pray for them and watch. And listen to what words come back. Watch what answers happen. But you're going to have to purpose to do it. You're going to have to be observant. You're going to have to be diligent in doing it. It'll change your life. You might change someone else's life because you chose to purpose. Maybe you could have a better influence if you chose to purpose. Might even become real to some of your kids. For some of these kids. And you can stack up some stones in your life. Like I said, man, the times I've purposed to pray, I've purposed to, here's another word, keep the peace, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. God has been answered and more glorified in my life than those times than any time. And I've seen the hand of God come in and say, "There you go. It's all you had to do was ask." Sometimes it ain't like that, but I sure like it when it is. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Father, help us, Lord, just to be purposeful, Lord, and seeking you, Lord, and praying. Lord, not defiling ourselves. Lord, and just, Lord, do we just go out of here, be a light. Lord, praising you and Lord, just looking for someone, Lord, who needs that gospel, Lord, who needs your light, Lord, and just that we could be a blessing to you, blessing to others. Lord, pray for our pastor, Lord, and pray for little baby Caleb, Lord, that we see him soon. And Lord, we just keep each other in prayer. And Lord, may we be diligent in seeking you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.